Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, which if you're at the morning meeting, you will have already had reference made to it in passing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, so to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This, of course, is the first recorded teaching that Jesus gave following his baptism, his endowment with power from on high, his testing in the wilderness, and he returns in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and he goes to the synagogue and he says these words. It's rather interesting this morning that the people we've got here are actually the core of the fellowship. There are no outsiders, and there are no people who are on our periphery either. And I believe that if there had been otherwise, I would have handled this passage in a rather different way, much more evangelistically. But it seems to me that the Lord has things to say to us through this passage which are tremendously powerful. Starting with, the Spirit of the Lord God is appointed me, is upon me, because he has anointed me. John, writing at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's in John 20 and verse 21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Jesus had come from the Father, and had been given this commission by God, an anointing to preach the good news to the poor. We also have the equivalent, rather parallel passage in Matthew, where it says, all authority in earth and heaven is given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. And the Holy Spirit, who was upon Jesus, has been given to us to fulfill exactly the same purpose and the same ministry that Jesus had to fulfill. And so we find at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, we find it says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I outlined all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And the essence of his ministry was one of doing rather than talking. And he also said, when the Spirit is come, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And how was that to be? That Jesus was to be exalted by fulfilling the same character of ministry that he himself had fulfilled with such grand effect. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. This is at the core and at the beginning of it. It's good news. Well, what's the bad news? Let's start with the bad news. You know, people say, do you want the bad news or the good news? Well, let's start with the bad news. The bad news is that we are all slaves. We were born in slavery to sin. And you go on being a slave to whatever ever overpowers you thereafter. In 2 Peter 2 it makes clear that whatever overcomes a man enslaves him. It's 2:21 if you want the reference. And so we're all born slaves. We're all born under the dominion of darkness. But the good news is, although you're a slave, you can have a new master. And we need that new master. Without the new master, we will go on sinning. We will go on in bondage. The good news is that you can be made free by having a new master. But you're still a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And you've got no choice about this. You're either a slave of Satan or you're a slave of Christ. And there is no middle ground. The bad news again is that we're in rebellion against God. When we were born in rebellion. And that's the fundamental problem of the human condition, is not that we fornicate, steal, murder, or any of those other things. The fundamental problem is we're in rebellion against God. And because we're in rebellion against God, God has a right to execute us for treason. The only crime that still, there are two crimes still on the English statute books that, for which you can be put to death. One is setting fire to a naval dockyard, believe it or not, and the other one is treason. And likewise in God's economy, the reason that we are under a sentence of death is because of our treason against God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid a price in order that we can be reckoned righteous. And if you think about the question of rebellion, there is no way you could ever save yourself from a situation of rebellion, for the simple reason that every time you try to become righteous and assert your own righteousness and all the rest of it, it merely, you're still in an antagonistic situation with the one against whom you rebelled. And the more you justify yourself, the worse your position becomes. And that's why we have to be made righteous by God through faith. And that's good news. The good news, you can be made free of all that. You can be made free of the power of sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. The reason that Jesus came into the world was to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And he will destroy the works of the devil in us, so that we can be made free. Well, so that we can be made free to be servants of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. In Acts 5, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is only given to those who obey him. God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day when he will judge the world by a man whom he has appointed. That's Acts 17:31. And there we have it in Acts 5, that obedience is the key to the Spirit of the Lord being upon me in order to fulfill this task. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to be obedient, to be totally obedient, to come into a place of death, an end of this old life. So that was the first thing. He came to bring good news to the poor. Woe to you rich, for you have your consolation now. Luke 6:24. Revelation 3:17. Again, has a lot to say about those who feel that they have riches. For you say, I'm rich, I prospered, I need nothing, not knowing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. Therefore I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments to clothe you, and keep your shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. How parallel that passage is to what Jesus says his ministry is in 18 and 19 here. And yet we find that being addressed to a church that felt that it was rich. We have to be totally beggars. That's the import of that word poor. Cringing beggars is the import of the Greek word. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to declare release. If Christ makes you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. He who commits sin, though, is a slave of sin. We're captive. We have been captive until we have been made free. And the purpose and the plan is that we should be those who not only preach the good news, but we proclaim release to the captives. We have to declare it with our lips. We have to pray it through on our knees, and then come to a place where we declare the freedom of Christ Jesus over those that are who are being captive. Interestingly enough, in Luke 11:2, where before that so-called Lord's Prayer, it says, when you pray, say. It doesn't say, when you pray, repeat, and praise God. We don't do that here. But it does say, when you pray, declare. And whatever you declare with faith, it shall be done for you. And it's when we declare something that it happens. When we proclaim release to the captives, they are made free. They are separated from their bondage. This is something which is separate from simply praying towards God. We have to declare to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. But woe betide you if you do it before you have the word from God. Because God put it there by a word. Genesis 1:3 indicates that the whole of creation came into being through a word, a single word from God, and it was so. And it will take another word from God, and it will be rolled up like a garment, and it will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All done by a declared word from God. And these captives who are around us, they need the declared word from God to make them free. To release them, to transfer them from the dominion of darkness and transfer them into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it is done by a proclamation of release. You have been delivered from the power of sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Beloved, does sin have any dominion in any part of your life this morning? Tell me something. Or at least yourselves. When your mind is not focused on anything in particular, what do you think about? That is your obsession. That, whether you like it or not, is your God. That is the thing which is gripping you in captivity. Let's make sure it's Jesus. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, who is so much at the centre of our existence and our love and our devotion, that nothing else really matters to us. If there are other things, then you need cleansing. You need to be released from their captivity. Whatever it may be. It could be something that's in itself good. It could be your husband, your wife, your work. Even work for God, the Bible, this church. It could be any of these things. But if it's anything less than Jesus himself, if it's anything less than God, it's not worthy of your heart. Because remember that when the Spirit is come, he will bear witness to who? Jesus. So the Holy Spirit within me focuses my mind upon Jesus. So if my mind is floating around and focusing on other things, I need to be released. I need to have that part of my life cleansed. So that we can be free indeed. If I've got things that matter to me, I'm not free. If there are things that I really want to hold on to, they can be good things. I'm not saying that. They're necessarily bad things. But if I'm holding them tightly, then those things will actually be a stumbling block to me. What you find about Jesus is he was quite willing to lay down his life. He didn't want to hold on to it. He didn't need to hold on to it because he had a confidence in God that he would keep him. And it's that same confidence that we need ourselves if we're to be fully free. So that no man can do, whatever any man does to me, they can't touch me. If they assault what I believe, it can't touch me, because my security isn't in what I believe. My security is in Jesus. My security isn't in the fact that I know particular doctrines and I hold the truth. My security is in Jesus, who is the truth. You haven't known me very long. If you had, you would know what a difficult statement that I just made is for me. Because I am somebody who has very strong views, always have had. And I believe that the Lord in his mercy has given me understanding of certain things in his book. But the security I have is not in what I believe. The security I have, and it can only be, is in Jesus. And that must be true for always, all of us. Otherwise, we are captives. We must only have our sight for him. The other thing that he proclaimed was the recovering of the sight to the blind. As I've already indicated in Revelation 3, there was also already that they needed eye salve that they might see. And in John chapter 9, you had, which relates very much to what I've just been talking about, the Pharisees. They knew a lot about that. They were terribly knowledgeable people. They knew their Bibles very well. But unfortunately, they missed the point. And the problem was is that if they had admitted that they didn't understand, they would have been all right. But they didn't. If you were blind, Jesus said, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. And however well I understand the scriptures, I do not know them as I know that the Lord knows them. I do not understand them as the Lord understands them. But funnily enough, Jesus, in his preaching of the parables, was actually preaching in parables to reveal to the people that they did not understand. And this is a remarkable mystery. Here's this Jewish nation who have all these traditions, they have got all the knowledge of the Old Testament, and yet Jesus has to come to them and start talking to them about sowing crops. And here's this religious teacher. He doesn't teach like the other people do. He taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. But he didn't teach them about God. He taught them about sowing crops and sowing seed. I mean, how ridiculous can you get? But he did all this so that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And it's a paradox that it's only when we come to the point where we realise we don't understand that we can begin to get understanding. All the time you think, I understand this, there's no progress. It's the person who knows that they don't know who is then in a position to learn. It's true in anything. I mean, it's not particularly spiritual thing to have to tell you, but I mean, we've all, and a lot of you have had kids, and you know what kids are like. They know. The fact that you've been around 30 years longer than they have is quite immaterial. They know, and you can't teach them anything. Well, we're children like that too, so what? But Jesus came to give us his sight, his vision. So the starting point of being able to see is to know that we can't see, and to at least admit the limitations on our vision. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. The interesting thing about this is it's parallel with the proclamation of the release to the captives. A lot of the words are actually rather parallel, but there is a difference. The first of these is concerned with the declaration of release. The other is actually opening the door and letting people out. Suppose that you get a pardon having been convicted, you get a pardon from the Home Secretary, there's a declaration made that you can be released. but you're still in jail. So you then have to actually go to the jail, open the door, grab the bloke out and say, right, you can go free now. And there's a, so this indicates that there is a two-pronged work to this. Not only do we have to proclaim the good news to the poor, we have to declare their release, and then we have to help grab them out. You see, there's no choice about whether you become a Christian or not. You can't become, nobody can come and become a Christian when they want to do. No one can come to me, said Jesus, unless my Father draw him. So, unless God actually draws somebody, they can't come to Christ. And this is one of the reasons why in Hebrews 3 it says, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He may not come back tomorrow. If you don't take hold of what God is saying to you today, this is true whether you're a Christian or a pagan or whatever your position is, if you don't take hold of the given opportunity, it may never come back. You've no choice, but the timing is always in God's plan and timing. Just as the opening of that door and letting the person out is at a particular time, that it follows the declaration. And lastly, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, or the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord's favour. It's the time when God has chosen to deliver people. As we were reminded earlier on, the bit in Isaiah goes on to talk of the day of the year, the day of vengeance of our God. Well, praise God, that's not yet come. But that is one of the reasons why we need to make sure that we are in the position where we are able to declare these things and to fulfill the ministry that Jesus was fulfilling here. This is the year of the Lord's favour. Time is short. And as I've just indicated, we've got to make sure that the people are aware that they have no choice, that the time is short. This isn't to oppress us, it's to ensure that we can come to them with a confidence and a desire to see them delivered and free from whatever is binding them, whatever's hanging them up. We all have hang-ups. We're all locked in to certain attitudes, and we all need to be delivered from them, whether we have been in Christ a long time or not. Because every time we approach the Word, something in it will do something for us, either to make us freer or to lock us in further to a particular set of attitudes. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He's sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Let's make sure that we are fully freed. Jesus has come to make you free. If you believe it, you can have it. If you think, oh dear, I've got all these burdens, I can't cope. Do you believe him, or do you believe your own heart? Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it in its abundance. I am the truth, the way, the truth and the life. It's by faith, it comes by hearing by the word of God that we're made free. You're freed. You no longer have to do unrighteousness. You can do good works. You can be acceptable to God. You can do the things that are acceptable to God. Do you believe it? If you believe it, you'll be then free enough to liberate all these other captives. Because through your obedience of faith, through your obedience to Christ, you will have the same Spirit that rested upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him to be witnesses unto Jesus by doing his works, by declaring his words, and by fulfilling his ministry with works of power, and by declaring the people free and seeing them walk into salvation and into a full liberty a liberty, the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh, that the eyes of our hearts might be opened, you all, that we may know what is the hope to which he has called us. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of the might of his strength, which he operated in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at the right hand in the heavenlies, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he has put all under his feet, and has made him the head over all for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let us hold fast to the head in full obedience of faith, and know the full panoply of his power and authority to liberate the captives and to make men free, to make us free, to enjoy the fullness of this grace. Praise his name. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, we want to praise you that you have such a wonderful plan of salvation, that we should be a people for your own possession, to fulfill your good works, to glorify your name, to exalt you. Hallelujah. We want to praise you this morning, and we pray, Father, that where there are things in our lives which are shackling us and which are binding us, Lord, we ask you that we should be made fully free in Christ Jesus, so that we can fulfill all those good works which you prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Father, take hold of us, we pray. Make us a people truly for your possession. Father, make us obedient to the headship of Christ. And grant, Father, that we may do always those things that are well-pleasing in your sight, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.